call it Christmas, but I guess we could say happy birthday. Everybody knows that December the 25th is Christmas, and I think all around the world, from America to Australia, from the Arctic to Antarctica, people will be celebrating, and they'll be exchanging gifts, and they'll be probably sitting down and enjoying a meal together. And nobody will be asking why that is, because everybody knows that at Christmas we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Even if you're not religious, every Christmas carol that you hear as you go around the shops, all the carols that we've just sung are a reminder of the birth of a man called Jesus. But you might wonder why December the 25th. Nobody knows the exact date of the Saviour's birth. There's even some uncertainty about the year of his birth. But providentially for us, the exact date doesn't really matter. And actually, Jesus himself told us to remember his death till he comes, rather than to remember his birth. But it is important that he was born. And it was actually Pope Julius I, who in 353 AD authorized December the 25th as Jesus' official birthday. And if nothing else, it gives us all the opportunity, doesn't it, each year to give thanks and to praise God for his astonishing grace and his astonishing goodness to all mankind in sending his Son. Although we don't know the actual date, we do know that Jesus was born. And we have the certainty of God's word on that. As I just read a few moments ago, Luke chapter 2 verse 11 says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." And if you were to ask what's Christmas about, well, Christmas is about a great birthday. And you probably recognize the picture on the screen there, those of you who are eagle-eyed. Our children watch a lot of traditional Christmas movies at Christmas time. This is one that they've already watched. I think it was Friday that they saw this. Home Alone is one of the most popular Christmas films. Apart from the antics of the bungling burglars, the film, of course, has a message. And one of those messages is that it's no fun to be home alone at Christmas, because Christmas, of course, is about families. Being with family at Christmas time is considered by most, if not all folk, as being important. And in recent years, particularly in modern times, Christmas has become a time for families. There's a great emphasis, isn't there, on a family celebration. And so thousands, if not millions, of people will be taking to the roads next Friday after work has finished, in an effort to get home to their families for Christmas. It's a time to get together. It's a time to enjoy things with the children and with the grandchildren as well. And whenever that first Christmas was, there was a family right at the heart of it. In Luke's Gospel, in that same chapter that we read the angel's announcement, we also read in verse 4 that Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. A man and his pregnant young wife traveling up to Bethlehem. It's the often repeated scene in almost every nativity play. And we often imagine, don't we, Joseph frantically searching around Bethlehem, trying to find somewhere, a place to stay for himself and his wife. And then Mary giving birth in a stable, because there was nowhere else for them to go. In verse 7 we read, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. She laid him in a manger, a feeding trough, a young mother, a happy father, a beautiful baby boy. Christmas is about a birthday. This is the quintessential Christmas family, isn't it? Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. And the angels who announced it said, "There is born to you this day in the city of David," that's Bethlehem, "a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And the birthday of the Son of God, well, that was and is quite obviously the world's greatest birthday. There is no other day like it in all the history of the world. And the angel's words there announcing the birth of the Savior in verse 11 tell us that it was really something rather special. Even in the Bible, those words in verse 11 are unique words, and there are a lot of unusual things, events that take place in the Bible. And in one sense, it was a very ordinary event. Verse 6 tells us, "So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger." A very ordinary event in one sense. But other New Testament verses tell us that this was something really very extraordinary. God was doing something really very extraordinary here. Nothing like this had been done by God before. And it tells us, those other verses of the New Testament tell us that God was not only doing something extraordinary and special, but he was obviously working to a plan. In the letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." And the Apostle Paul, who you may have heard of, who did a lot of traveling around and telling the gospel, speaks of the good news of Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ, like this. He calls it the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. So Jesus' birth is something which was planned purposely by God. And for a long time, only God knew that it was going to happen and what he was going to do, and that it was going to be something extraordinary and special. And when the time was right, he did what he had planned to do, what he had thought to do all along. And his plan and his purpose involved a family. It involved Mary and Joseph and their family. So Christmas is about family, a very unusual, a very extraordinary family. And it affects us. It affects you and me today. It affects our families. It affects all the families in all the world. It's not exaggerating to say it affects all the families that have ever been born into the world. In fact, that family element of what God was doing is very important. And you could say that when it comes to Christmas, God himself is very much interested in families as well. You see, God made a promise to the world's very first family, to Adam and Eve, who he made in the garden. And he told them to be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the earth with people, with families. And when they fell through sin, when they disobeyed him, He told their enemy and them, because they were listening in and God knew that they were listening in and the promise that he made was really for them, he told them that one day a savior would come, someone who was very special, a very special son. In Genesis 3:15, he said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." And God was talking about that special son, that savior who would be born. It was an important promise to them. They'd just been thrown out of the Garden of Eden and everything had gone pear-shaped. And it was a message of hope in a newly fallen world where thorns and thistles and sorrows and sadness and all the things that we know would be a normal part of living. And God was giving them hope in this special promise. Christmas is a time of hope, isn't it? We often speak of the hope at Christmas. We often look forward with hope to the year that lies ahead. Well, from the start, God had a very special family in mind, with hope for them and for every other family in the world. And later on in the Bible, God made this a little bit more clear, because he made another important promise to another man. And this time a man called Abraham, who is sometimes called the friend of God. And God spoke looking forward to a particular time. Now Abraham was an old man, and his wife was an old woman. And there was really no physical or earthly way that they could have a family. They were just too old. But God promised them a family and told them that in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And Abraham did have a son. And from that, the family grew. We could trace God's promise all the way through the Bible. That would take us a long time. We don't have time to do that this evening. But the short version is that God was talking about that first Christmas family. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Because it was from the family of Abraham originally that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be born. So in particular, God was thinking and speaking about the birth of his son. A great birthday. That's what Christmas is about. But Christmas is also about God's great event. I'm afraid that regarding Christmas, I'm a little bit of a last-minute man, and I either forget to do things, I just let other people get on with the doing of those things. Lots of people will be busy this week as we come up towards Christmas. And there'll be lots of last-minute preparations. There's shopping for food and for presents and all kinds of things like that, and getting the home ready for visitors. But you see, God is very different. He's not like us at all. His plans were made well in advance. And they always come off perfectly and run perfectly and according to plan. In Isaiah 55 and verse 9, he says, "So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." One of the reasons that we sing these traditional carols that we've been singing here this evening is because they remind us of the wonderful plans that God made. Very wonderful things that he was going to do, and that God did. And in regard to the birth of Jesus, when he began to carry those things out, a whole host of very wonderful things began to happen. One of my favourite carols is "O Little Town of Bethlehem." We sung it together towards the beginning of our service this evening. And if you read the words of that carol, I'll just turn it up on my carol sheet. We can read there, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years met in thee tonight. The hopes and fears of all the years met. In other words, the longing of the hearts, the anxious minds of men and women. God comforted his people in what he was doing. God answered them in what he was doing. And he gave the blessings of heaven to us. It's God pouring out his love and his grace on people like you and me, on sinful men and women. And the birth of Jesus is God's great event, planned not from the beginning, but long before then. There's a New Testament verse which says, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. It's a verse which talks about Jesus and his coming into the world. God knew from eternity what he was going to do. The angels made that announcement in verse 11, and everything about it is surrounded with the most glorious and marvelous signs and wonders. This family, the birth of this child was so special that God did something remarkable. In my former church in South Wales, we used to have an organ, much like the organ that we have here, but there was a lady in our congregation who had taught herself to play it. And as often as she was able, she played the organ on Sundays. But one day we had a visitor to the church from another church down the valley, and he was an organist, and he began to play the organ. And there was such a rousing, thundering sound, it seemed as though the roof would blow off. He pulled out all the stops, and the sound was tremendous. Well, God pulled out all the stops. The one who had made the heavens and stretched the heavens out, who knows all the stars, marshaled them together, those celestial spheres, to signal the arrival of his own son. That star that we sing about in the carols was real, not necessarily a single star, but it was a very real visible sign in the heavens. And his sign was seen by all. It filled the night sky. Wise men, they said, we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Angels thronged the heavens because their maker, taking for himself human form, becoming a human being with our nature, was a thing of great wonder to them. So they filled the heavens, and it was great good news for all the earth's families. They sang God's praise. They announced the arrival of his son, the great good news. In verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And we sang, didn't we? We always sometimes sing, angels from the realms of glory. It's what you would expect, isn't it? I think it would be very surprising if God hadn't have done any of those things. But because his son was to be born, he pulled out all the stops. And Jesus' birth was God's great event. It was the answer to the promise made back in Genesis, a savior for all mankind, blessing for all the families of the earth, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. God pulled out all the stops. And if we were to ask what's important about Christmas, well, the important thing about Christmas is that there's just one answer, isn't there, to all of this that God did. And yes, that's to celebrate and to enjoy the season, but surely also to bow down and to worship and to join with the angels and to give thanks and praise to God and to thank him for what he did in sending his son, but also to believe. You see, in blessing all the families of the earth, we're not just talking about Jesus coming down among us and a wonderful event. It was wonderful, but there's more to it than that. You see, through his Son, through believing in him, through faith in the Son of God who went to the cross and died for our sin, God adopts men and women into his own family. Listen to what he says in John's Gospel. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. John chapter 1 and verse 12. What does it mean for us? Well, it means all your sin pardoned. It means all your guilt removed. It means all the condemnation because of sin cancelled out. And it means peace with God, and it means a future and a hope. Jesus was born and came to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, according to Galatians 4 and verse 5. Some of the carols capture that very thought. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Our great response to God's great event and this great birthday is to take the mercy and the grace that are freely offered and to celebrate the birthday of God's Son, our Saviour, our King, and say or sing, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. Well, we just have one final short reading, which Sue is going to come and read for us, and then we'll sing a last carol together.